I've entitled tonight's lesson one word, and that is the word growth. Growth. And that is what we're striving for. That is what we ought to be striving for individually as well as a church body, corporately, if you want to use that word, but as a church body. We want to be growing. And I would pray that, I would hope that that is your prayer, that you would pray with me, that you would have a desire to grow in the Lord. But not only that, that you would be praying that this church would have a desire to grow in the Lord. And that's what we read in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 2. Many of you have probably memorized this verse. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. We see several things in that verse, but we see a couple of words that we'll emphasize, and one of which is the word desire. Desire. And we've mentioned it before. It's not new, and I'm sure you've read it, this verse, over and over again, but there has to be a desire. Brother Robert and I were on our way to church tonight, and we were talking about the things of the Lord, and it's a blessing to talk about the things of the Lord, by the way. We should never get bored by talking about the things of the Lord. We were talking about the things of the Lord, and I mentioned, you know, that's really, I believe, what God is looking for is people that are hungering for something more. People that are desiring for something more. And that's where I want to be, always. I'm not saying I'm not there, but I never want to get beyond that hunger. I've been saved since I was 9 years old. I'm 45. You know what? That doesn't matter. I need to be hungry for the things of the Lord. I need to have a desire for the things of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time together now. Please, tonight, Holy Spirit of God, enlighten us from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. That word, another word, is the word grow. The word grow. You see that? That word is talking about increase. Increase. I'm reminded of the little song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And so, not necessarily theologically sound there on that part of it, but it is definitely heading the right direction. And yes, if we read our Bibles and we pray every day, what will happen? It will be natural. We will grow, grow, grow. And that's what that word increase is talking about. And we're once again reminded the only way to grow spiritually is through God's Word. So if we are not in the Word of God, forget about growing. It will not happen. There is no get growth quick plan in the Christian life. You know that, right? It doesn't happen. It can happen day after 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 day, 365 days a year. Next year, 366, by the way, for all of you leap year babies, you're finally going to have a birthday next year, and because it's leap year next year. But every day, just getting in the Word of God, what happens? We grow, grow, grow. God's Word changes you, and God's Word changes me. From the inside out, from the inside out. It is cleaning me. It is correcting me. It might be convicting me. That's the Word of God. It is a two-edged sword that has unbelievable power. Amen? And I'm so thankful that we have God's Word. It brings increase. Not only does the Word of God change me, but the Word of God is what brings that increase. I found this quote. The purpose of the body of Christ is to build the body of Christ. The purpose of the body of Christ is to build the body of Christ. How are we going to build the body of Christ? Through the Word of God. We must continue to build our life on the Word of God. Now, if we are not striving to build the body of Christ, what happens? The church eventually fades away. Interesting statement that you just made in our conversation was this, that if we're not reaching people with the gospel, if a church is not actively reaching people with the gospel, the church is already headed toward death, or it's headed toward being non-existent. It just is there. It's not trying to build on the body of Christ. And that's what this word grow means. We want and we are desiring to see increase. And it will not happen without the word of God. Turn with me now to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 4. All of this is in lieu of thinking about spiritual gifts, but we're laying a little bit of groundwork here, and we'll get to those specifically, not tonight, but let's just continue to work our way through these passages. Look at Ephesians, please, chapter number 4, verse number 11. The Bible says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. Okay, we're talking about growth. I'm thankful that we have children in this church. Not talking about junior church age, but we're talking about new Christians or newer Christians. But we don't want to always stay as a baby. We don't want to stay as a child. We want to grow. We want to increase. He says that we be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice one of the words that stands out in my mind in verse number 11, and we're not going to go into all of this tonight, but he lists the word teachers. Teachers. And we see six reasons why tonight that we have pastors, we have teachers, we have evangelists, and I'm of the persuasion that we don't have apostles anymore and we don't have prophets anymore. We can talk about that maybe another time, but I know for sure that we have evangelists and we have pastors and we have teachers still in 2019. And he gives six reasons why we have these, and they're listed there for you. Number one, the perfecting of the saints. Number two, the work of the ministry. Number three, the edifying of the body of Christ. And number four, we have unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And number five, that we might have a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, that's what we're aiming for. We are aiming for, I am aiming for my own personal life, that I would have, like it says there in verse number 13, that when we go into the community, when Anchor Baptist Church goes into the community, I might mention this in a little while, that the community would see the fullness of Christ. How else are the lost going to know of the things of God if Bible believers aren't growing, aren't increasing? As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, that you may increase thereby. And then number six, we have pastors and teachers, evangelists, that we be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. A pastor tells of an incident that happened the first week of his pastorate. Here's what happened. A woman came up after the service and asked the pastor if he would find the answer to a question that she had about a particular Bible passage. Now, that on the surface sounds like, the right thing to do. The pastor said, I will not do that. The woman was shocked. What? The pastor went on to say that he would not find the answer to her question. And she said, what are we paying you for? He let her know that he would show her how to find answer herself. Rather than doing the ministry, he was equipping her to do the ministry so she would grow into spiritual maturity. Think about that. Is it better to show someone everything all the time? Or is it better to show someone how to find the answer for themselves? Turn quickly to 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever had children, there is eventually a time where you hope that the training and the teaching, and I'm not relating like you're my children, but in the sense though, that if you do everything all the time for your children, get ready, 35 years old, they're going to be living with you still. And I'm not making fun if somebody's 35 and still living at home. That's not a problem. I'm just saying we need to train, we train our children to be able to do for themselves someday. The same can be said of we in the local church, that we want to train other people to be able to go into the Word of God themselves and find what God has for them. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same doctrine, the same teaching, the same principles, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Growth. I want to consider some things tonight as we continue through this. Number one, the goal of Anchor Baptist Church is that she will grow and or be built up. Paul uses a term regarding construction. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. The goal is that the church will grow and or be built up for the perfecting, verse number 12, of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Building up. Is like a building, in the sense of building, under construction. And Paul uses it here in reference to the body of Christ, the fullness of Christ. We add new people to the church through salvation and believers' baptism. Now, that should be something that we're praying about on a regular basis, that people would come to the knowledge of salvation, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, follow the Lord in believers' baptism, and be discipled and so forth. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. The church will grow and be built up. That should be a prayer request every day. God, please help Anchor Baptist Church to grow and be built up. That's not talking about necessarily having 5,000 people here on Sunday. We wouldn't have room anyway. Okay? But it's talking about the spiritual growth that ought to be seen in every local church. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man. Paul says, here's what we need to be doing. We need to be preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be warning every man. That's why we have these. We have one way to warn people is to lovingly give them a gospel tract. If God allows you to have a relationship with someone, it's work, maybe neighbor, somebody that you see on a regular basis, that's part of the church being built up, is witnessing to the lost. But it doesn't end there. The Great Commission doesn't end there. I like what he says. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. When someone gets saved, it is the responsibility of the local church to provide biblical education. And I don't know about you, but I need more every day. I need to be educated in the Word of God every day. Notice what he says here. That we may present how many people? Every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We know this word perfect is not saying sinless. The goal is that Anchor Baptist Church would grow and be built up to spiritual maturity. To a place where the Bible says here that every man would be perfect in Christ Jesus. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How many of you tonight have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Raise one of your hands. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Amen? Okay. So, as ye have received the Lord, as ye have received the Lord, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, notice what it says, so walk ye in Him. So the goal tonight is if you raised your hand a moment ago and you said, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, that every day we are walking in Him. Now the devil is not going to roll over and play dead just because you and I are saved. And we might say, I want to walk in Christ every day. No, the devil's going to try his best to trip us up all the time. And that's where our growing, that's where our growing, that's where our getting into the Word of God is of the utmost importance. And it's, let's continue reading on. So walk ye in Him, rooted. Rooted. Think about the term rooted. Something going down into the ground, anchored, if you will. Not so easily moved, rooted in Him. You could say it that way because it's and. Rooted in Him, built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So number one, the goal is that the church will grow and be built up. Number two, the goal is that the church will attain to the unity of the faith by learning more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to our text, Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll read it again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Verse 13. The knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of Jesus. Paul links the unity of the faith with the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowing Christ in a more deeper fashion will help us to experience a closer unity. And we want to be unified in Christ. How does this happen? Learning more and more about Jesus. How do we learn more and more about Jesus? In His Word. It's really not complicated, is it? But I wonder if we would add up the amount of time we spend a week on certain things and then add up the amount of time we spend in the Word. Possibly something is taking more time than it should in our life, in our daily living, so that we should really try to see what it is, and maybe something could be taken from that so and put more time into the Word so that we can know more of Christ. So that we can be better equipped to serve Him and be in unity there. Number three, another goal is that the church grows into maturity. We read that already in our text. Individual maturity. This is not an attitude of, I'm a better Christian than you. No, that's not what we're saying. But Paul says here that that's our goal, that we're in the fullness of the stature of Christ. That every day we look, act, behave, whatever word you want to use, a little more like the Lord. That's our name, isn't it? Christian. Our relationship with one another and in the way that we love one another. That's our goal, maturity. There should be no one in this room or in this room on Sunday that we would not have a godly love for. But you know as well as I do that it does not matter what church it is. Somebody can get their feathers ruffled pretty quick. We know what that's from. That's from pride. Those feathers of pride that we all have, we all do. But what do we want? That's where the devil comes in and tries to bring disunity. That's where the devil comes in and tries to keep us from maturing in Christ. But that's the goal, maturity. By the way, not only in our relationship with one another, but in our doctrine. I'm so thankful that we have ways that here at Anchor Baptist Church, and we need more where we can grow in our doctrine as we look through books of the Bible, as we try to rightly divide the word of truth, as we have discipleship for new Christians, as we have the Bible Institute for anyone at Anchor Baptist Church. All of these things, what is it trying to do? It's trying to bring us into doctrinal maturity. Why? Because we know that there are so many ways out there and so much wind out there. Brother Knapp's series on Sunday during Sunday school at 3 o'clock on that false doctrines and things like that. A necessary subject. I'm glad the Lord led him on that. That's what we're looking for, so that when we hear the wrong thing, we know it right away. That's the goal, maturity. Number four. The goal, as I've mentioned it already, is that the church will grow into the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This quote, stature may refer either to age or physical stature, but it speaks figuratively of maturity. The measure of spiritual maturity is nothing less than the fullness of Jesus Christ, who is the very fullness of God. Let's think about that. The measure of spiritual maturity is nothing less than the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I go into the world, as you go into the world, we ought to be Jesus Christ going into the world. Now, I'm not saying we go and tell people we're Jesus Christ. No, I've had enough people try to tell me that over the years. That's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about that as we go into the world, we're not going into the world as the old man would go into the world. We're going into the world in the fullness of Christ. What does this mean? This means that we have a love for people. You know, it's not easy to love everyone. Newsflash. Especially someone who is unkind to us. They're the last person that we want to love. But God says, love your enemies. See, that's the fullness of Christ. I can't love my enemies if I'm still drinking from a bottle, spiritually speaking. I'm going to have to get some meat if I'm going to love my enemies. And by the way, we all need milk every once in a while too. I'm just saying there are some things in the Bible that if we're going to grow into them, it's going to take the fullness of Christ. Forgiveness. How are you going to forgive someone who maybe is no longer even a part of your life, but you need to forgive them? Look, it's going to take spiritual maturity to give forgiveness, especially if someone's not even asking for it. But I believe the Bible tells us quite clearly that it will do us good to make sure that we, with the fullness of Christ, forgive as Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32. These are just a couple of things. How am I going to be able to be what the Bible wants me to be? And then some of these things look so difficult, and they are in the flesh, but not in the fullness of Christ. We can grow and become more like the stature of the fullness of Christ. Does the world get a glimpse of the Savior when the world sees us? That's what we want. In order for this to become a reality, Anchor Baptist Church must also be exposed to training. Preaching, teaching, training. In other words, it's one thing to have all the information, and it's another thing to take that information and put it into practical use. I remember several classes in school. What is the point? It's building character, son. Don't worry about the point. Study, get good grades, because God's building character. All these figures and things, and I know some of you use figures all the time. I still use some, but I use a very small amount, but just different subject. What's the point? You know, some of those subjects, because I'm not using them on a regular basis, it's gone. That's only a natural thing. But when it comes to the Word of God, you know, we could come to church 52 Sundays a year. And we could hear Bible preaching every Sunday. Praise the Lord, we should, right? And we could go to 52 Wednesdays a year and hear Bible preaching and teaching. And we should. But if all we are doing is sitting here, and even me being the speaker or other people preaching, and all we're doing is taking it in and we're not applying it to some area of our life, that's where the training comes in. We have all this information, and again, I'm all for all the preaching that we can get hold of, but I don't want to be just giving you preaching to just store it away and say, have it. No, the preaching of the Word of God is to equip us to be more like Christ, practically using it. Here's the thought. It is imperative that what we are learning translates to how we are living. I think we're learning quite a bit from the Bible. I'm not talking about Pastor Turner. I'm just talking about we're learning much from the Word of God. But, you know, learning is great, but if it doesn't affect the living, man, don't let the beautiful Word of God in your own Bible reading. And I must say that here we are, March 13th. I must say that 2 months and 2 weeks into the year, boy, the Bible this year for me, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't this way last year, but it just seems like there's so much more coming out of it this year. I don't know why. And I'm making notes on this Bible that my daughter-in-law gave me on the wedding, and I didn't really use it much, and I picked that thing back up. By the way, I found my Bible. This Bible, I found it. Brand new one. It's just like it. It matched up with it. It's even got thumb index in there. So when I get a little bit older and I forget where the books are, I can just find it. I ordered one. I thought that was, I didn't really want thumb index, and so I sold it to Brother Jeff. He wanted it. So he needed a new Bible, and I thought, well, I'm going to order one without thumb index. You know what? Oxford Press, 5 years ago, stopped making the Bible that I wanted, only makes it with thumb index. That's okay. Just want you to know, I do know where the books of the Bible are as your pastor. But I'm finally going to have a Bible. I'm going to have a new Bible here. I don't know when I'm going to use it. Maybe on anniversary Sunday. Maybe we'll wait till then. This one will be my 18-year anniversary Bible, and I'll have this one for 18 more years, and then I'll need at least one more. That'll be 54 years, and that's it. I'll probably be done by then. Okay. But it does us little to no good just to keep piling on and piling on and piling on if we don't use it. It is imperative that what we hear on Sunday and Wednesday translate to godly living every day of the week. It is imperative that what we hear on Sunday and Wednesday can be passed on to those who are in our circle of life. You know, the goal would be that on Monday, that at somebody at work, or Tuesday, someone that you come into contact with, or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever day of the week it may be, that you would have something from Sunday school class, or you would have something from the preaching, or you would have something from your Bible reading, that God would prompt me or prompt you to be able to say, oh, hey, you know what? This is not just a session to come on a Wednesday night and for me to say, hey, open up your mouth, Brother John. And I'm just going to dump a bunch of information in there and that's it. No, It's taking what God has given me, and it's God's word. It's not my word, and I'm giving it to you with the help of the Lord, who I greatly must have, so that then you, that we can give it to others. We learned already that God has given the church pastors, teachers, evangelists for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the development of the body of Christ. This body, Anchor Baptist Church, should not be in the same place that she was last year at this time. I'm not talking about where we meet. I'm talking about our spiritual maturity. Remember the theme? One word, growth. So we think about that as a church, but let's think about that as an individual. There should be spiritual development in each of our lives. I want you to ask yourself this question as we come to the end here. How long should we continue to develop spiritually? It's in there in the text, by the way. Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Newsflash, that's coming when we get our new glorified body. So it means forever. You know what I find, though, in my life sometimes? I find the development stops. And that's really not what God wants. God wants things to be developing over and continue over. And you know, that we get victory over this and we get victory over that. And we realize, you know what? That's not really the things I want to allow into my home. I've learned and I've matured in the Word of God. And I'm not saying this about me. I'm saying this kind of in a general way. That this television program, we shouldn't watch this one anymore. Because of our growing in grace. Or, you know, this part, I should not allow this thing into my life. Or I should not have these thoughts. All of this we can have victory over because of the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Philippians 2. And on it goes. Our spiritual gifts and abilities, we're getting somewhere just before we close. Our spiritual gifts and abilities should be developing. The gift, the Greek word for the spiritual gift is charisma. It's related to the word grace. Charis is the Greek word for grace. Tonight we have a room filled with many believers. You raised your hand a moment ago. Every hand that was raised that said that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, you have a spiritual gifts that are a result of the grace of God. Everyone here, the youngest to the oldest. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11 tells us the Holy Spirit gave us those gifts. Quickly turn to 1 Peter 4, and we'll look at two verses, and we're going to pick it up next time. Growth, 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 growth. We want to be growing in the Lord, not just maintaining, growing. 1 Peter chapter 4. It's in there somewhere. Verse 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. That word minister has to do with serve. Remember, I think I said it last week. Every Christian is in the ministry. And that's a proof text right there. We've all been given gifts. So minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That God in all things may be what? Glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You're reminded of what we are. We are stewards. The gifts that God has given us are to be used for His glory and the edification of the local church. The question that I must ask myself is this: am I developing the gifts that God has given me? See, all of this is going to help the body of Christ grow. If your spiritual gift is still what it was, I mean, not still was, it's still in the same place that it was the day you got saved, something's not right. It's supposed to be developing, and that's where we're headed. By the way, maybe you've never thought about your spiritual gift. That's what we're coming to in all of this on Wednesday nights. Okay? But let's seek growth as newborn babes desire. I've realized it anew and afresh how much a baby wants milk over the last 6 weeks with having a baby in our house again. Amazing. And I've figured out the cries of Carson. And there's a I'm hungry cry. I figured out which one it is, even as a grandpa. You know what I wonder? I wonder how many of us have an I'm hungry cry. God, I'm hungry for more. Not for my glory.